Sometimes they are good, sometimes they are bad, but this one is okay. But one thing drew my attention was that in the movie, he addressed a lot of tension about the cultural tension in those days, about the temple situation, about people talking about waiting for a Messiah. And they were looking at Jesus saying, maybe he was the one. So if you look at that perspective, that movie was pretty good, giving us some background, you know, what is happening in Jesus' time. And when I was watching it, I did not sleep, but I watched the whole thing, amazingly. And so today I just want to share with you the second call from Luke chapter 2, or third call from Luke chapter 5, I'm sorry. So if you look at this, that Jesus was calling again, and we will look at this together, and slowly that we can look at this, and hopefully we can find something that will be impacting our lives together. Let's pray together. I don't pray all the time before sermon, but today let's pray together. And our Lord Jesus Christ, I just want to give you thanks for today. Lord, I think this calling to Peter is very important to us. Lord, we just pray that as we unpack these stories, Lord, we just pray that you will be speaking to us and your Holy Spirit will touch our hearts, just like what Jesus did to Peter. Lord, we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's look at chapter 5, verse 1. So Jesus was standing near the lake. Can you go back to the first? I think there's a... Yeah, this one. So if you look at this Lake of Galilee, and you see those towns that they're still here today, in biblical time, those names were mentioned. Caponia, and then this is 1949 picture. So you can see those towns are still there, and the area is still here today. So if you look at that, the name, I don't know how to spell it, what's the name again? Gennesaret. Actually, that one is an older name than the Sea of Galilee. They believe that name has been around earlier than the name Sea of Galilee, because Sea of Galilee only showed up when Roman Empire came, things changed, and then the province changed, the name changed, so they slowly changed it to Sea of Galilee. So people live over there, and sounds like Jesus showed up at that time, and he was calling to his disciples. So the story unfolds like this. So he approached the town or that area, and a lot of people already know Jesus. I think they heard his preaching before. They saw, some of them may have seen his miracles. So they were coming toward him. Just like if I'm standing right here, and all of you come towards me, what will happen? Not that I'm attractive to the point that you all come to me, but I mean, if I'm standing here, you guys are all coming to me, what would happen? I'm kind of stuck because I could not move back anymore. And how could I speak to you when you guys are on my faces, you know, on my face? So Jesus saw that happen, and then he saw two boats. So he wanted to create some space between him and the crowd. So he looked at the boats and said, oh, there are two boats. Verses 2, it says, nobody was there. And verse 3, all of a sudden, Peter showed up. I don't know what happened, you know, and maybe Jesus recognized Peter. Of course, they already know each other. So he might just say, Peter, come. Or Peter saw Jesus coming, and a lot of people are, you know, trying to surround him and try to choke him to death. So he said, oh, maybe I should go and help him. So he offered himself and get to the boat and say, oh, let's create some distance. Just like what we do here, you know, create some distance so I won't spit on you. So there's some distance now, so Jesus can speak to the crowd. So Peter, being nice, and being his followers, so he offered himself some services. He was supposed to be, you know, looking after the net and, you know, try to fix those things after a one-day work, overnight, actually. So he did not have enough sleep. He was tired. He had work to do. But he said, oh, well, I should be, setting an example for others. Maybe I should just help Jesus. So he helped him out. And he got to the boat. No, he did not just say, Jesus, get on the boat, go. Get out of the boat and then get out somewhere and then you just speak to the crowd. He actually get on the boat. Remember, he was tired, and he had things to do, but loving God, loving Jesus, so he said, okay, maybe I should just get on the boat too, at least trying to do something for Jesus. We do that all the time. You know, we try to help the church. There's a need. Okay, let's do something for the church. Okay, but lo and behold, there's something is going to happen to Peter, which at this point he did not realize. But he did get involved. So he got on the boat. You see the crowd, this crowd is different because Luke tried to tell us that they were not looking for miracles. They were not looking for food, you know, like 5,000 people, 4,000 people. Luke purposely told us that they were longing for the word of God. They were longing for the word of God, and they were hoping Jesus was going to preach the kingdom message to them. So they all came, not for entertainment, not for fellowships, not for getting together to play video games, not coming to church, you know, try to spread some gossips. They come to Jesus, looking for the word of God. I think Luke purposely told us that because I think this is very important as we develop these stories. So Peter was sitting in the boat. You can imagine, he's sitting in the boat. Maybe he was just half asleep, you know, because he was tired. But I don't think he was falling asleep because he had to control the boat so that the boat is around certain distance. You will not go away. You will not get too close. So he might have to control the boat, you know. So make sure the boat is around that distance, you know, so Jesus can continue to teach. You see, Luke tried to tell us at this point, what is the role of Jesus? He described him, what? Sitting down, preaching, teaching. So he was a rabbi. He was a teacher. That posture, sitting down, people are standing there listening to a teacher. And that was Peter's understanding. You know, Jesus was a teacher. You know, he's a rabbi. You know, he's teaching someone, the whole crowd. You know, I'm just sitting here providing service. You see what happened, you know, between God and between Jesus and the other people. He was more like an observer if he chose to. He chose to observe what's happening. Is it true? He was willing to help out, just like many of us, helping the church. But long and behold, something is going to happen to him. So let's go to verse 4. After all this, you know, people are listening to the sermon, word of God, the message. And when Jesus was done and the people were leaving, and Peter thought, okay, now I can get the boat back to the shore and then get on my, you know, work or go home to sleep or have a breakfast or something. But Jesus turned to Peter, Simon, and told him, now, the tone has changed. If you read verse 2 and 3, NIV, Jesus asked Peter to get out, get the boat out. But in verse 4, and the tone has changed to like more like a command. Jesus not asking Peter, but actually told him to get the boat outside, not near the shore, doing what? Cast the net. You know, I'm not what kind of professions you have, but as a pastor, if I tell you how to do your job, what do you think about me? You are crazy, pastor, but I won't tell you that. You see, Jesus, as a carpenter, was telling Peter what to do. He already told him, and then Peter just wanted to make sure Jesus got the picture. We try all night. We try all night, not just 2 hours. We were not being lazy, you know. I'm helping you now, I'm helping the church, but you have to understand that I spend the whole day doing my job to feed my family. I already, you know, did all this. I'm a fisherman. This is my lake. This is my school. This is my workplace. I know these people. I know everything about this lake. And I know what time I should cast the net. But I did not get anything. We did not get anything. Did you get that, Jesus? We spent the whole night. Now we want, you know, I was so kind to you. I tried to help you out. Now you want me to do more. Now you want me to do more. But you have no idea what you are asking me to do. You see, he was thinking, you have no idea asking me to do. This is not the time to go out fishing. But Peter, he already saw what Jesus did in the last few months. In and out, helping Jesus, going to Jerusalem sometimes, come back home and then go back to fishing again. He did that for the last few months. So he kind of knew Jesus, what he could do. So he said, okay, but I just want to make sure you understand the whole picture. We try, we fail. Nothing out there. But anyway, since you told me the word of God, remember? Jesus was preaching the word of God. Now Jesus spoke to him the word of God. And he obeyed. Nevertheless, okay, I will do it. Obedience does not quite require your knowledge, your experience. Get that? Obedience does not require your knowledge, your experience. When Jesus spoke, Peter knew what was happening. There was no fish out there. We won't get any. We try already. That's his knowledge. That is his experience. But he still chose to obey. So he got the boat out. Now, up to this point, scholars have different take on this. They said, well, he's leaving the shallow water and going to the deeper water. So Peter actually was leaving his comfort zone and going to somewhere else that he's not familiar with. Outside comfort zone meaning you don't feel comfortable. So you don't feel comfortable because this is not your area. This is not your, you know, place that you go to every day. But my argument, I don't think going to the deeper water is comfort zone, going out of the comfort zone, because I think Peter, being a fisherman in this lake for so long, going out a little bit further, it's not a problem to him. What Jesus was doing is, Jesus was asking him within his comfort zone, doing something differently, beyond his knowledge, beyond his experience. I give you an example. How about this church building? Is it a comfort zone to you? How do I know this is a comfort zone to you? You bring your kids to the church? Well, bye. You know, they disappear. They have gone to some dimension, you know, different dimensions. You don't see them for another 2 hours. So when you walk in, this is your comfort zone, this church building, because you can see all these familiar faces that you have. You know, your friends, you try to catch up, you have some familiar faces that even though you do not know them well, you do not even know their names, but they show up every week after week just like you, so they're okay. So this place has become a comfort zone for you, for me. So when we walk in, we feel very good. But what if you are standing near the doorways, the main entrance, and then all of a sudden there's someone walks in. Doesn't look like you or like me, you know. Maybe he doesn't have a shower for a week or so. So he kind of smelly, you know, dressed not like this, of course. And then he was just standing in the main entrance. He's lost because he just walked in. You are 3 feet away from him. What do? Hi, you just continue your conversation. Most of the time when we see newcomers walking into the church, we kind of pretend we don't see them, you know. And we believe someone will look after, we will look after the person. So it's my job to walk away so that he has more space. And I think Jesus is asking Peter, within his comfort zone, doing something against his knowledge. Obedience. A lot of times it starts within your comfort zones. And from within your comfort zones, Jesus asks you to launch out later. I said later, not going to the deeper sea, but something else. So Jesus asking Peter to do something that he, you know, he was good at, but at the same time, he failed to catch any fish a night before. Now Jesus asking him to do something that is against everything he knows. Okay, I will do it. As I said, obedience does not require your knowledge, your experience. Obedience is following God's will. This God, who is the creator of the universe, who died on the cross for you, asking you to obey him. It has nothing to do with your experience, your knowledge. So Peter went out with Andrew. Now the brother show up. We don't know when. He just show up. So they both went out. Jesus was still on the boat. So they went out. Now you know the story unfolding, verses 5 and 6. And then they got a lot of fish, a lot of fish. So James, John show up as a partner, so they work together, catch all the fish. So you know how it ends, right? So when they saw all these fish, Peter bowed down. And he said, God, no, no, Lord, this time the term has changed. In earlier verses, Jesus was seen as a teacher, rabbi to Peter. But now, because the term has changed, he did not call him master or rabbi anymore. He called him Lord. The way he bowed down, every Jewish people understood what it means. You only do that to God. Looking at the Old Testament, Moses. A lot of people are afraid when God show up. And they say, oh, please leave me. You know, I'm a sinner. So what Peter did was acknowledging Jesus no longer a rabbi, a teacher, giving you some good teachings with your head knowledge, but he's going to change your life now because he saw what's happening to him. You know, in the last 4 or 5 months, when Jesus said, come and see, what they have seen is Jesus performing a miracle for other people. He was teaching other people. He was confronting other religious people. So they were just standing there. Not literally standing there, but you know what I mean. So they were just watching. All this miracle happened to other people. But now it happened to him. Against all his knowing, you know, about the lake, about how to fish, and all of a sudden, all the fish show up. They were hiding somewhere. Now all the fish show up. The miracle happened to Peter and Andrew. This time it's different. If you look at scripture, can you look at your phone, your Bible, read paper Bibles? That would be even better. In the beginning of chapter 5, Luke addressed Simon. Few times before this miracle happened, he addressed him Simon. But after this miracle, he was called what? Simon Peter. He finally took on the name that Jesus gave him. That is the transformation happening to Peter, finally. For the last few months, he was watching what Jesus did. He was listening to his sermons. The last few months, he was looking at what Jesus did for others. Many of us love to hear stories. That's why we have Story of Jesus, commercial time. You know, come and listen what Jesus is doing around the world. But this time happens to him within his comfort zone. And through this, Jesus said, now I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Now he's asking him to launch out to do something that he had never done before, outside his comfort zone. He was a fisherman. Now he's going to be an evangelist. So the story continues. Now my question, I brought it up, is this a second calling or the third calling? Because James and John, if you agree with Matthew chapter 4, let's go to Matthew chapter 4, you will see another calling. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. You will see that there was another incident, similar to this one, very similar, to the point that some people say this is the same thing. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. Same thing. Jesus came to the lake of Galilee, and then he called Peter and Andrew and James and John, and then they throw everything, and they just follow Jesus. Very short story. But some scholars believe that was the second calling Jesus gave to Peter and Andrew. Because in Matthew did not record this miracle about getting all the fish, getting out of the boat, fishing, all these things. So they argue that this is the second time Jesus invited them, asking them and say, I will make you fisher of men. They did. They throw everything out, they follow him, but maybe just for a short period of time, and they went back to fishing because they did not see this miracle happen to them. They heard the call, and they tried to follow Jesus for we don't know how long, and then they went back fishing. So Jesus came again in Luke chapter 5. And this time, that's why I understand why John and James can throw everything out and follow Jesus, because that could be the second time they met Jesus and listening to his calling to follow him. This time is different. The first time is come and see. This time is following Jesus, because Jesus has given them something for their lives, the goal for them, the mission for their goal, for their lives, which is make fisher of men. So he's asking them to do more. So Jesus came with a miracle, with the word commanding them to follow him, regardless of their experience, and following him. And the miracle happened. At this point, Peter finally, completely convinced this is Lord, God himself. And he's going to abandon everything to follow him. At that point, you see, I said Luke changed the name, Simon Peter now. And the reaction from Peter. I want you to pay attention to this. Because what Peter did was, he was just bowed down, worshiping. The posture is just like worshiping God. And Jesus said, fear not. Don't be afraid. I want to ask you, what was that? How come Jesus said, don't be afraid? Was he afraid of who Jesus was? Was he afraid of what Jesus was going to ask him to do? Could be both. Because I think he understands when he realized the one standing in the boat or sitting in the boat, this guy is no longer a rabbi, a teacher, but he's going to be the Lord of my life, and I'm scared to follow him. And I'm scared what he's going to ask me to do. You see, what Jesus was talking about is fear not. Like Gideon, remember? A few months ago I was preaching Gideon. He was afraid all the time, but he chose what? To continue to follow Jesus, to follow God. So my second point I want you to take home, not only obedience has not much to do with your experience or your knowledge, Obedience doesn't involve too much or get involved too much of your emotional response. Because Peter was afraid. So was Gideon. He was afraid of something. And God said, don't be afraid because I am the one made you fisher of men, not you going to be a fisher of men. Just like you are a fisherman. All your life you are basing on your knowledge, your experience, catching fish for your family, for your livelihood. But now I'm going to make you, I'm going to be responsible for you. You see, Jesus was wonderful because he launched us to a something that or somewhere that is new to us from where we were at. You know, so Peter was a fisherman. He talked about fish. From there, he launched and asking him to launch out from his comfort zone about this lake. And he's going to arrive. He's going to preach the word of God, not just by the lake. And he was going to make a huge impact for God's kingdom. And I think at that point, he was asking him to get out from his comfort zone. I will use the term expand his comfort zone. Because a lot of people love to get out of the comfort zone, but they will come back to the comfort zone. So maybe I just change the terminology, the mindset in you and say, please expand your comfort zone. So this is what happened to Peter. God was asking him to change. Two things. I hope you will take it home. Obedience does not require your knowledge, your experience. Obedience does not require your emotional alignment. I tell you the story. You heard me before, but give me 2 minutes to share with you again. Almost 3 years ago, I left Sarah, our older daughter, in Toronto. We left her there. She was 19 years old with a house that I was expecting her, I asking her to look after at the same time. It was very tough. Even today when we talk about this, it was more like a trauma to our family of four. That morning, it was very difficult to leave Sarah at home. And we just get on the U-Haul and drove to Edmonton. Everyone was crying except me. It was really tough. The last two and a half years, I was fearful of him, of her. I was afraid that she's all by herself. We have no relatives in Toronto, so she was alone, seriously, literally alone in Edmonton, in Toronto. And I asked her to look after the house. So I was afraid about her. I was afraid about the house. The furnace might, in the wintertime, went out, and the pipe would. I was kind of afraid of all this, but I still chose to obey God. When I came back, it's very difficult because the history of the church, what we heard in Toronto, our pastoral team, the Alliance pastors, the knowledge-wise, experience-wise, I should just stay in Toronto. So this is a real life. I'm not just talking about Peter. This actually can happen to you and to me. Obedience does not require your experience, your knowledge. Obedience does not require your emotions lining up. And last year, wintertime, the pipe finally broke. 3 a.m., I got a phone call from a security company and say, you had a flooding at home. 3 a.m. So I was panicking, whom should I call? And I remember Patrick and Christina Zhang living in Markham. I have his phone number. I call him up. I call another guy, and that guy didn't reply, but I called Patrick. He didn't reply. I was just sitting in my living room panicking, and then he called back because he didn't sleep well that day. So Patrick called back and said, what's happening? I said, my house is flooding. Can you go and take a look at it? So thank God, 5 a.m. over there, Christina and Patrick drove to my home, get the key from my backyard. I told them, you can find my house key over there. So I disarmed the alarm, so they went in full gear, try to clean up my house. And I thank God, it was just a crack. It was not bursting out. So they helped me to stop the water and then fix everything. Not fixing everything. At least stop the water right away. So even among all these difficulties, God is still looking after my family. Bursting the pipe, it's just cracking, it's not bursting. Otherwise, it would be a huge damage to our house. And I think we can do the same thing. When God is calling us to follow Him, it means very important to Him, to you. This is the important calling to Peter. This is the time that he changed his life, when he saw this miracle happening to him. God's power manifested in his own life, and he decided to turn around and truly follow God. Let's pray together.